This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Brazil's political crisis continues to grow, with President Michel Temer deploying national security forces to patrol the capital, Brasilia, after a massive demonstration and a fire in the agriculture ministry. Temer has now revoked that security order, but the political damage against him continues to pile up. Having taken office after last year's impeachment of President Dilma Rousseff, Temer and the opposition forces he represents have found that leading the country is not easy, especially when they are accused of corruption themselves. In the latest blow, Brazilian media have claimed they have a secret recording of Temer trying to thwart an anti-corruption drive and accept bribes. Temer and his associates have also faced massive public opposition to their neoliberal economic policies. Unions organized a major general strike in April against Temer's proposed austerity cuts. With Rousseff and the Workers' Party weakened, and with the right-wing opposition also teetering on the edge, what is in store for Brazil's democracy? Joining me is Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights. She's also the director of the Feminist Alliance for Rights at the Center for Women's Global Leadership at Rutgers University. She's been our go-to guest on the situation in Brazil. Welcome back to the show, Maria Luisa.
Thank you so much, Somali.
So much has happened since we last spoke. And as I mentioned, Temer is finding that it's not easy, having found himself at the center of many corruption investigations. Now, there are not just the one that I mentioned with the recording. Even before that, there were a lot of accusations and charges of corruptions. In fact, wasn't Temer also implicated in corruption before the impeachment of Dilma Rousseff, before he even became president?
Yes, the public prosecutor in Brazil has issued accusations and was investigating Temer even before he took office for receiving illegal campaign contributions. So just to remind the viewers, as we talked before, the main reasons for the impeachment of President Dilma were, first of all, to stop investigations of corruption against politicians that are now in power. So now we have the most corrupt politicians in power that are being accused of very serious crimes. And the second reason was to implement austerity measures, cuts in social programs, changes in labor law, dismantling the pension system, the retirement plans in Brazil. All of these are very unpopular measures that Temer is implementing now. And that is, of course, increasing protests in Brazil, and his popularity is very low. It's about 5% right now.
5%! I mean, when do you ever hear of a sitting politician having 5% approval ratings? That's unheard of.
Yes, exactly. That's why we have seen very large demonstrations. We had the general strike. Imagine a general strike in a country as large as Brazil just a few weeks ago. And then just a couple of days ago, we had another very large demonstration in Brasilia. And then Temer called the army to occupy the city, and there were severe repression against the protesters. So in order to implement very unpopular measures, he's using force. He's even calling the army forces to repress peaceful protests in the major cities, especially in Brasilia. And so the democracy in Brazil is still at risk. The things that we talked about last year are happening. Everything we said, you know, that the coup against Dilma would undermine public institutions in Brazil, would undermine democracy. Now, even the elections that are supposed to happen next year, I think, are at risk. So we are in a very unstable situation politically, socially and economically.
Let's talk about what happened in Brasilia this week. This is the capital of Brazil, and there were tens of thousands of demonstrators, and with security forces being called, there was a fire at the agriculture ministry, and Temer seemed to, I suppose, think that he was justified in calling on national troops. But he was roundly criticized for that. So he has now stepped back, has he?
Yes, exactly. Today he decided that there was, I mean, because of the pressure, because it was an illegal decree that he authorized the army forces to occupy the city. So he actually changed his mind about that just today. But the pattern we have been seeing, over several months now is that every time that we see a demonstration in major cities, we also see severe repression. And the pattern is pretty much the same. We have peaceful demonstrations, and then suddenly we have a small group of people that start some type of conflict with the police, and that then is a way to justify the repression. Mm. So this is happening over and over and over, and we don't know exactly how this fire started yesterday in Brasilia, but it's also possible that was also a way to infiltrate some people in a peaceful demonstration to start some type of a conflict of violence, and that is the reason they use to justify police repression.
And of course, whenever the military is called in, we have to remind ourselves of Brazil's history of military dictatorship. This is a very relevant history when you have the specter of military power. So let's talk about what are the things that Temer faces. And he had several of his own cabinet members that had resigned. Three of his ministers were forced to resign, eight of them implicated in the corruption investigation that was linked to Dilma Rousseff. And he, as you mentioned, the general strike as well. But staying on this issue of corruption, given that it was corruption that was cited as the main reason for weakening Workers' Party leaders like Dilma Rousseff, Temer should be drowning in the irony of what he is now facing. And is that why there? And this is what you and I talked about last year, that how ironic it is that these corrupt politicians are unseating other politicians using the issue of corruption. Now it has come to haunt them.
Yes, Sonali, this is exactly what happened. There were no accusations of corruption against President Dilma or former President Lula. They have been trying to implicate them in corruption charges, but so far, there is no proof.
They have accused them, but they haven't charged them.
Well, there is, in the case of President Lula, there is an investigation, but they have not been able to find any concrete evidence. And for years, they have been trying to implicate him. And so far, after years, they have not found concrete evidence of his participation. And with President Dilma, they haven't even found enough suspicious to actually start an investigation against her. So they are not implicated so far in any of these corruption charges. On the other hand, Temer has been investigated and there is evidence against him. And just a few days ago, there were tapes released, recordings of him negotiating bribes with a large corporation in Brazil. And also the politician that was disputing against Dilma Rousseff in the 2014 elections, Aécio Neves, was also recorded on tape negotiating illegal campaign contributions and bribes. So these are major politicians that orchestrated the impeachment against President Dilma, they're also, that are now facing serious charges, and that is clear evidence against them.
And it was a head of a massive beef company, meat distribution company, that secretly recorded these conversations. How did all of that play out? What would this particular person have an interest in doing such a thing? How did the media get a hold of it? The media hasn't always, you know, the media has often been on the side of the right-wing opposition, right?
Yes, exactly. I think that the main thing right now, what changes is that if Temer resigns this year, then there won't be direct elections. Congress would choose the new president. So maybe the reason for conservative media outlets to release those tapes right now is to force Temer to resign and to avoid direct elections, because if we had elections now, Lula would win for sure. He's the most popular politician in Brazil, and the right-wing parties don't have anyone now with that type of popularity.
I see. So if Congress picks someone to replace Temer, if Temer resigns, if Congress replaces him, then general elections are put off, because that person,
yes,
whoever
exactly.
replaces him, would be able to, or should be allowed to, I suppose, fill out their full term. So this might be a way to thwart Lula's aspirations to come back into power?
Exactly, yeah. Because since they have tried to charge Lula, to arrest him, but they haven't found any concrete proof against him, another possibility is just to avoid having elections and having Congress just to pick someone.
Right.
And as we know, you know, 2/3 of Congress members now in Brazil are implicated also in corruption charges.
Two-thirds of Congress members?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So
that's
wow.
why we have been having very large demonstrations in Brazil calling for direct elections. The slogan is Direta Já, which was the same slogan used right after the military dictatorship ended in the late 1970s.
So, what does it mean?
It's called direct elections now.
Mm. So, and just a little bit of context for those who are unfamiliar with Lula. Lula, Inácio Lula da Silva, was a very popular Workers' Party president who enacted, you know, some might argue whether he was left enough, at least, at the very least, he was center-left, enacted a lot of socially progressive policies, economically progressive policies. Dilma Rousseff, who was impeached last September, was his successor, if you will, from the Workers' Party. She, I understand, is not eligible to run again, but Lula is, especially if these corruption in charges that he is he's having thrown at him do not amount to anything. But is in terms of the popularity that he is now enjoying, can he actually run if elections are to go forward next year and win next year?
Yes, I think if the elections happen next year, and this is the major risk now, I think this is what we have to pay attention and monitor, because I think what is at stake here is democracy in Brazil, is the basic right to vote. Because they, last year when they orchestrated the coup against Dilma, and we call a coup because there were no accusations against her, and they moved forward with the impeachment even though she was not accused of any crimes. So they already undermined the voters, the millions of people who voted for President Dilma 2 years ago. And now if they again undermine the right to vote, then I think this is a very serious situation. We need to monitor that. And so just to clarify, social movements in Brazil, other civil society organizations, we have also critiques of Lula and Dilma. We think that they did not went far enough in implementing some policies, for example, agrarian reform, environmental protections, social programs. It's not like we don't have any critique of them, but we need to defend democracy in Brazil. I think this is the main point right now.
It's interesting in terms of the things that Lula and Dilma Rousseff were charged with. Hasn't Globo admitted that some of the coverage, this is Brazil's biggest media outlet, that some of the coverage that they did of these Workers' Party leaders was inaccurate? I mean, media plays a huge role in any democracy in influencing the public. It seemed so easy last year to lob corruption accusations at Dilma Rousseff, at Lula, without there being, you know, even though you and I were able to discuss how hypocritical these things were, the accusations played really well in the Brazilian public. What role did the media play? And are people also angry about now seeing clearly that Globo might have played a very illegitimate role?
Yeah, that is a great deal of manipulation. Last year, the global television and other networks were calling for protests against President Dilma and broadcasting those protests live all day long. So it's almost like you only had Fox News. In Brazil, there is no alternative perspective at all. Just recently, TV Globo announced that Lula had bank accounts outside of Brazil, and then a few days later, they had to say that that was not true. So I think lately it's becoming more clear that that is a great deal of manipulation, but the majority of people in Brazil only watch those networks. They don't have much access to alternative types of information. And in the case of Dilma, I think over probably 90% of people don't even understand the charges, because the public prosecutors in Brazil already had said that what they were accusing her of was that she was delaying payments from the federal budget to public banks to subsidize a portion of interest rates for subsidized housing for low-income people and also for agriculture. And the public prosecutor said that because that didn't constitute a loan, if it was a full loan, she needed to get approval from Congress. But what the delays were about was just a portion of the interest rates that were subsidized. So that was not considered a crime by the public prosecutor in Brazil. And that was a very common practice that all the previous governments also used in the federal budget. So that's, you know, the accusation that they used to impeach Dilma. And most people don't even understand the real cases that they used to justify the impeachment.
So let's also point out that obviously the real agenda of the opposition was to use the idea and, you know, these sort of rumors of corruption as a pretext to remove the Workers' Party from power so that they could implement their neoliberal economic agenda, which they didn't waste any time in trying to do so, right? What are some of the changes that Temer has proposed that could impact ordinary Brazilians? And how have people been fighting back in addition to the general strike in April?
Yes, the measures are devastating for working people and also for the middle class. They are dismantling Social Security, pension funds, all the social network that people rely on for retirement. And also all the labor laws now are being changed. So basically, there is no job security in any sector, even in public sectors, even for professors, teachers, doctors. So basically any company can outsource contracting workers for any type of job, which of course it also presents a risk for those services. as well as it will create a great deal of job insecurity in Brazil.
And so the public is quite angry, and people are getting, you know, speaking out and organizing on the streets. What about political organizing? Is the public anger being fueled to strengthening the Workers' Party, or does it look like the public is, you know, simply protesting with anger, but not really a goal because it's not clear what should happen next?
Yes, the main protests are being organized by social movements and unions. So this is the portion of the Brazilian society that is organized. But then you also have, you know, of course, millions of people who don't belong to these organizations and still don't know exactly or don't understand what is happening. But I think that more recently, with the release of those tapes, it's very clear that the current government is implicated in serious cases of corruption. So yeah, maybe people, you know, more people will start to protest. But we have, you know, strong social movements in Brazil, and they are leading those protests, although it's not connected necessarily to political parties. But I think in a way, you know, this is how it should be. It should be civil society organizing and demanding basic rights.
And, you know, let's also remind ourselves, Brazil is Latin America's largest country. It is the fifth largest country in the world. So we're talking about, you know, sort of a weakened democracy in one of the largest countries in the world. So Temer's future is certainly at stake. He has said, "I will not resign. Oust me if you want." So what do you think is going to happen with Temer? Can Congress, two-thirds of which is facing corruption implications, can they oust him? Will they oust him? Will they sacrifice him for the sake of keeping Lula out of office?
Yeah, I don't think he can stay very long. I mean, the accusations against him are very clear. So, but again, you know, we are in a situation in a limbo. And like you said, the country as large as Brazil and with such an important role in Latin America, being in such a situation of insecurity is very risky. It's risky for the whole region. And we said that last year after the impeachment, that if we undermine democracy in Brazil, this will have serious consequences for the whole region. So that's why I think the international community needs to pay attention to what's happening. Also, we have seen a great deal of violence in the countryside. Just 2 days ago, there was a massacre. 10 peasants were killed in the state of Pará in the Amazon region. We have been seeing an increasing number of killings of peasants in Brazil. And at the same time that the army was occupying the streets, we saw this massacre. And also the Brazilian Senate approved a new law to basically get rid of the limits of the size of properties in the Amazon that can be sold in the private markets, meaning that we are going to see a greater level of environmental destruction in the Amazon. So what we see is a whole range of policies that are very destructive against social rights, against environmental protection. And at the same time, we see an economic crisis and a political crisis happening in Brazil. So I think that it's very important that organizations, social movements here in the United States and in other parts of the world support democracy in Brazil and support the social movements that are fighting to defend their rights.
Finally, Maria Luisa, since the last time we spoke, we have a new president here in the United States, and I'm wondering whether you see Donald Trump's administration paying any attention to what is happening in Brazil. It's unlikely that Trump's administration would do anything close to the right thing in terms of U.S.-Brazil relations, but does Trump coming into power here in the U.S. have any implications for Brazil and Brazil's democracy?
Well, what we see in Brazil now is a far right wing government in power, right? Very similar to here in the United States. So in a way, they have similarities, right, between Temer and Trump. So there are questions about the elections in both countries. They bring a far right wing agenda, sexism, racism, all of that, undermining social rights, workers' rights. So I think they are very similar, and it just shows the danger that we face with this type of radical right wing policies and the way in which society sometimes is manipulated. And so how do we fight against this? How do we try to prevent these types of policies that would undermine basic rights here or in Brazil? I think this is something that would be interesting to have discussions that would incorporate the international perspective to what is happening in the U.S. as well. So, at the end, I think, we don't live in a bubble. So we are all facing similar challenges.
Well, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us today. I'm sure we'll have you back on as this crisis continues in Brazil. Thanks so much, Maria Luisa.
Thank you.
My guest is Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, and she is also the director of the Feminist Alliance for Rights at the Center for Women's Global Leadership at Rutgers University. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and Vimeo.